For a long time, I put everyone else first, and I lost myself in the process of that. Who I was, what made me, well, me. But here's the thing, your well-being matters, your mind matters, your health matters. Listen to your emotions, they all matter. So I've decided I'm going to do something about it for me. So today I'm really proud to announce that I'm going to be launching a podcast called With All Due Respect. So my podcast is going to be all about finding yourself again, your well-being and self-care. All the things that I've learned are really, really important. So I'd love for you to come with me on my journey. I'm joined by two incredible guests, two of my closest friends. We've got Ellen and Hannah here today. How do busy women like Ellen and Hannah take care of themselves in their busy lives? So Ellen is a student paramedic and Hannah is an EMT in the NHS. So they've got deep hours of studying, placements, exams, long hours. So today we'll be talking about how they practice self-love, find balance in their daily lives, and how they also prioritise their well-being, both inside of work and outside of work. So let's get straight into it then, girls. So start off with you, Ellen. So your role and at the moment your degree is all about caring for others. So how do you think that shaped the way that you think about self-care and self-love for you as a person?
I think it very much comes back down to, if you can't care for yourself and you don't look after yourself, then how are you supposed to care for others? And that sort of channels back into the degree as well, because you can't study and put your best into all the work and the learning if you're not looking after yourself. And that can be as simple as going out for a walk in your lunch break, or just taking some time away from the studying or the reading, or just even like a 5 minute like de-stress on shift. I think it's just taking the little moments where you can, rather than expecting to always have loads of time to do it.
And Hannah, how do you go about looking after yourself, especially as you are on the road a lot as well?
I mean, I completely agree with what Ellen said. Like, obviously, if you can't look after yourself, like, how are you expected to look after patients effectively? I mean, one of the massive things for me when I'm on shift is we have the radio on all the time. So when you're just, your patient's in the back with your crewmate and you're driving, like, just sitting in the front and just having a little jam to yourself to the music. And I mean, I listen to Heart Naughties all the time because they have great hits all the time. So I'm just sat in the front, like, jamming to myself. And it's just such a, like, just a massive relief and, like, you know, just love life.
Like, both of your, because you're doing similar but different things. And death by cough today. Like, I'm the same. My back's like, it's tickling, I can feel it. So both of you have really, really busy lives, mainly because of your role that you've chosen to do. But how often do you get those little, I'm guessing you don't get little moments to relax during the day, obviously, due to the nature of your work. But when you do, I'm guessing that's different on the day-to-day because of the nature of things, right?
I mean, obviously you get your half an hour break, which sometimes, if you're lucky, can be 45 minutes. But you get your half an hour break where you get to eat food and just kind of chill. And I mean, me on my lunch break, I'll always try and, we have a quiet room. I'll go and sit in the quiet room and go and read my book. And that's like my time just to chill and just be self-caring, I guess.
And what's the book of choice at the moment?
It's called Better Than the Movies. Great book. Purely for the fact it's so easy to read.
But, easy reads.
Yeah, love them. But also as well, like, even after if you've done like a really difficult job or like a big job, control are very much like, oh, go make yourself a cup of tea, like, have some downtime, like, take your time. Depending on what it was, they are usually very good with it. So I think you kind of, if you have been to a bad job, you've always got that kind of downtime just to chill, make yourself a cup of tea, talk to your crewmates about what's been happening, what's been going on, like how you're feeling about it. And I think that's like such a big thing, because obviously no one kind of knows what you're going through other than your colleagues. So yeah. I think talking to them is like such a massive thing.
I think especially in your line of work, because it's often life or death, or it is people's lives that you're dealing with every day. How do you deal with exhaustion and stress, and how do you recognize when you're sort of running on empty? How do you combat that, especially as your jobs are so busy?
I think for me, it really depends, because I obviously split my time between being out on placement, being on the road, and being at university, which Hannah does as well, but mine's sort of a bigger split, I think. And I think that exhaustion, that running on empty, is so easy to feel when you get home, when you've been on the road. So you get home, you don't want to do anything, you just literally want to crawl into bed and do nothing else. And it's sort of, you have to force yourself to go in the shower, which sounds really gross, but like the littlest things all of a sudden become the biggest chore almost, and you have to be really aware of still doing those things, still doing the little things, still having that cup of tea, still taking that 5 minutes to read your book or what have you. Whereas when I'm at university and I'm studying, well, I mean, it's all studying, so kind of the same, but it's more practical, obviously, on the road. Whereas at uni, I think it's easier to fall into sort of a hole of, oh, well, I'm not on placement anymore, I've not got any assignments due right now, and to fall in a pit of not doing anything. And I think it's still just really important to just be mindful that it's going to ebb and flow. So although you're in that, you come away from that really busy period, still good to have that self-care, and then not feel into a, oh no, I haven't done anything, and beat yourself up about it.
100% with that. Sometimes you don't even want to do anything. But like, for me, especially after some of the shifts we do, like, you just literally want to just crawl into bed. But I found that, like, just going for a bath, I'm more inclined to go for a bath than to have a shower, just because it's way more relaxing than having a shower and just like sitting there. I have my Kindle and then I have a little remote clicker, so I just sit there and just click through my book.
That's well good. I didn't know they did them.
Yeah,
they're so good. Game so changer. Good.
Awesome. Get one. Get
it's
one.
Just for my birthday, for goodness sake. Like, I could have asked for one of these.
Human. Honestly, game changer. They're so good. But I literally just sit there in the bath. Sometimes I'll sit in the bath for like an hour, just like chilling, reading my book, like, and I'll always have like a drink because I've got a little bath tray as well, so I have a drink on there, put my Kindle on my bath tray, there I am clicking, and it's just like so relaxing, and I'm still cleaning myself. Like, that sounds really weird, but like cleaning myself even though I'm relaxing, rather than having a shower, which can sometimes feel like a chore, especially after like you've done a shift. Like, I mean, a couple of weeks ago I ended up doing like a 15-hour shift, and the last thing I wanted to do was get in the shower, but getting in the bath felt like a massive just relief, and I was just like, oh yes, time to relax.
There's nothing worse than having to get yourself in the shower at the end of a cold night shift.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
See, I can't complain because my working role is so different both of yours, but I can also relate to it's the end of the day, or I've been out and I've been driving for like a couple of hours and I'm freezing cold and I just want to get into bed. And it's those like little moments where you're like, I don't want to do this simple like bodily task, but I need to, because otherwise I'm just going to make myself feel worse, and then you just get into that cycle. I think the next topic I really want to touch on is sort of like the guilt factor. So, and both of you know me very well, so you know that I've suffered with this for a very long time. A lot of the time, until recently, I felt really guilty about like putting myself first or actually taking time for myself. And have you ever felt that on your journey of sort of understanding what you need for your self-care, or and how do you actually remind yourself that you deserve to be looked after as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like even recently, I had exams a few weeks ago, and we said afterwards, like, it feels so nice to be able to do nothing, but not that you weren't doing nothing before, but to actually do nothing and not feel guilty and give yourself a hard time about it. And I think it's just so important, like, as you go through that journey, to make sure you are taking that time for yourself, because ultimately, if you don't take time for yourself, the burnout's going to come regardless. And there's probably going to be an element of burnout, especially studying and working at the same time. That's going to, it's kind of a natural stage of it, I guess, just because it is so intense. But if you are looking after yourself, taking the time to do self-care, do things for yourself, if you take that time, then when that burnout eventually does come, it's not really a burnout. It's just a down couple of days, or a couple of days that are harder than the rest kind of thing. So I think it's important to realise that you need to put yourself first to negate the negative impacts to yourself, because the only person that it's going to affect is you, ultimately.
Obviously, it's always, it's just your natural instincts to just feel guilty. But then in your mind, you've just got to go, well, I can't feel guilty about that because I've got to look after myself. Otherwise, I am just going to burn out completely. And especially, like, with all the essays and exams and stuff we do, like, I mean, I'm nearly finished now, just have my dissertation results, so happy days. So we are nearly done, and I'm so gonna be so happy when it's all done. But, like, even when I'm on shift, you still have to just not feel guilty about it, just kind of, you know, keep going.
So outside of work and study, what are the things that really fill your sort of emotional cup? What makes you feel best? Obviously reading, we've touched on, but apart from that, is there anything that you really makes you feel whole and happy again, especially after all the stresses that you go through on a day-to-day basis?
I mean, like, obviously on my days off, I go to the gym quite a lot, and like just putting my headphones on for like that hour, just listening to my music and like working out, you just get into your own little world, and like you kind of forget about everything around you, and you're just thinking about you in that element. And it's proper, for me, it's like a relaxation, but also looking after myself, because I'm making myself feel good by going to the gym. And like it's one of those things, it's such like a selfless thing, just doing that for like an hour or whatever. So that's one of my main things I do, really.
And let me guess, Direction.
Obviously. What else am I going to listen to? Like, come on. I mean, all the members, obviously, not just One Direction, all of the individuals as well.
Duh, yeah.
But also, like, one of the things that I love the most is going for a coffee with my mum. Like, that's such a relief for me. And, like, I think it, as well, because I can talk to my mum a little bit about the job, because she kind of gets it, because she was a nurse as well. So I think that massively helps, the fact that she kind of gets it as well. But since moving out, my mum's become like one of my like great friends, to be fair. And like, even after a shift and I've had a really bad shift, I'll even call my mum and be like, can I come round for a hug, please? Oh. And it's honestly one of the best things. So I think that like is a major thing for me too, with my self-care, like just seeing my mum and seeing friends, obviously seeing you guys.
Yeah, no, I agree with the like family, and it's something I like, my mum and I, since like we obviously live a bit further away from each other than Han and her mum now, but yeah, that's something like every day, my mum, like having a chat with my mum about sometimes important things, sometimes just rambling absolute rubbish. But it just really helps. And I think for me, it's just important to spend time with my friends and my family. More recently, I've got back into running. Prior to running, I played netball a little bit. Then I fell down some stairs, so that's not quite happening anymore. So yeah, I think it's just for me, I really enjoy the going out, getting the fresh air. So whether that's walking, running, currently quite a lot of running because I signed up for a half marathon.
Rather so, you than me. Yeah.
Don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, I think it's just like surrounding myself with positivity and the people, like you spend time with you guys, my family, and just people that understand how you're feeling. And if they don't understand how you're feeling, they're not really that bothered about pushing you on it. They just let you be. And I think that's quite important as well.
No, yeah. I think that I feel similarly in the fact that I think when you sort of grow up and move out, you realise, or a lot of people realise, that their parents are like their best friends. And like even today, I've come home from work, and just to the nature of my job now, I work where I come from, so I'm with my family a lot more, which I haven't been for like a decade. And it's so nice to be able to come home and just, I was ill last week and I just like saw my dad and burst into tears and just had a hug. Like, and that's sometimes all you need, is to like look after yourself in that emotional way. But I think going on to my next question for you both, we know here that I had a bit of a personal epiphany recently and made some changes in my life. But was there ever a moment in your life where you really sort of sat up and thought, I'm not looking after myself properly here and I need to do better for myself and advocate for me better?
I think so a few weeks ago, I was coming up to an exam. I was really struggling like to prioritize my time and make sure I was getting studying as well as exercise. And just a little bit of downtime as well, really. Like I felt like I was just not being productive at all. And so this was quite recently. I think I told Hannah about it. It was like a few weeks ago. And I very much now, my calendar, if you look at it from a glance, it looks crazy. But it's really not. It's just literally I put everything in there now. So if I'm going to go for a run that day, it'll be in my calendar. If I'm going to the cinema, be in my calendar. If I'm just going to have some chill time at home, it's in my calendar, because then I don't feel as overwhelmed by every task, and the self-care and the things you do for yourself shouldn't feel overwhelming, but sometimes they can. And I think for me, especially writing it all down and having been able to look at my calendar and see that plan just makes everything so much easier.
Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, like before, pretty much like kind of just before Christmas, I was proper in like a weird kind of place. I was like, what am I doing with my life kind of thing. And I was like, you know what, I need to take a step back from like everything and just think about myself. And I was like, think about what is right for me. And like now, like Ellen said, I've got a very kind of productive day. I sit in the morning and I'll like think about, right, what am I going to achieve today? Like I sit down and I write some goals, like even if it's just going to the gym, like going for a coffee or going for a walk, or even like just the little things of like getting my 2 liters of water in daily. Like that is one of my goals, and that is just how I'm now producing my day, just to keep myself motivated as such and keep myself going. Because I was like, that I just got so overwhelmed by everything, and I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
It's hard though, isn't it? Because you just sometimes there's so many things in your head that you struggle to sort of process stuff when there's so much, and we live such busy lives, right? That unless I'm the same, so I bought that, as I both told you, that very expensive diary. By Grace Beverly, it's the productivity method, but I swear it's genuinely changed my life. So it's like you've got the calendar on one side, and then you've got quick tasks, which are like 0 to 5 minute tasks. Then you've got your tasks, which are like 5 minutes, 30 minutes, and then your projects, which are 30 minutes plus. And I put everything in that I need to do of a working day in there, and then some little bits for home, like I need to do my food shopping, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes you're both completely right, and I completely align with you on this. If I don't brain dump, as I call it, I can't get anything done, because I'm like, whoa. And especially with all my hormonal problems, if I don't sort of regulate myself, I really struggle. So I completely get that, 100%. Do either of you use fancy books like me?
Or? I mean, I bought one from the range for like £5. That's like really cool. It has like just your like a weekly planner, like at the start, and then it just has like a daily task, and it's like everything like that. And then it has like a little habit tracker as well. So I think that's as good as that one. That was only £5.
I literally just put everything in my phone. I do have a written cat like a paper diary for uni, but even my uni goes into my phone calendar as well, so I can like everything's color coded. Like uni's one color, things me and my partner are doing is another, like socializing is another, workouts is another. So then you can just look at it like and look at that color quickly, and it's easy to, well, easy for me in my brain. You guys will probably look at it and think that's chaos.
To be fair, on my phone, I have like a shift planner app, and literally I have to have it color coded of like when my days are, when my nights are, and like when my rest days are. Yeah. Otherwise, I just get so confused and I don't know what's going on. And like you do, I kind of write little bits in there. Like if I'm just meeting my friends or whatever, I'll write that in there. Or if I'm doing something with my partner, I'll write that in there, like rather than doing it in my written down one. That's kind of my written down one is more for me on that day, whereas my phone is kind of, I've got that with me all the time. I can tell my friends when I'm actually free and when I'm not, kind of thing, because I don't always take my diary with me because I forget it, because I don't take a bag, I use pockets, so as we both know.
I mean, isn't it funny that we all do like different but the same thing? So like I've got a very bougie version. We're all doing the same thing in different ways, but I think obviously it works for us. But if one of us was to do each other's method, it probably wouldn't work in the same way. So I think it's all about like understanding what works best for you and what fills your cup in that respect. So no, I love that. I might end up not getting the expensive one next time, unless they want to give me a PR. So, you know, there we are. Before I die by cough, if you had to think of one word to wrap up what self-care is for you, and that's a really big question to ask off the cuff, right? So take a couple of seconds to think. What would the word be for you?
Being selfless. That is my mom.
I actually think being selfish.
Okay. Elaborate.
I just think that if you don't put yourself first, then you can't do anything. Like sometimes, like being selfish isn't always a like we associate the word selfish or selfishness with a negative connotation, but actually it isn't always, because sometimes in order to give your best and be your best, you do need to put yourself first, and that could be perceived as selfish.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good, actually. I suppose, Han, you probably said selfless in the same vein.
Yeah.
Flipped.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Mine would have been respect.
Yeah, you got to respect yourself.
Exactly, because for so long, I didn't even respect myself. I respected everyone else and thought everyone else's needs needed to come before my own. So for me, like my self-love journey is 100% about respect, because I never gave it, right? So I think for the last question of the podcast, of the pilot episode of this podcast, so for anyone that has got this far, brilliant, lovely to hear from you still. For anyone that is listening who struggles to put themselves first, what is one action that you would say that they could take away today and sort of implement in their lives to enrich them a little bit further?
Go and do something you enjoy. Like, just find something that you like doing, even if it's just finding a new hobby. Like, I've been through so many different hobbies recently just to find something that I enjoy. Like, I started embroidery, I started doing a cut, like playing guitar, I started drawing. Like, I'm just still trying to find my new hobby. So go out and try new things. Go out and just try anything that you, and then find something you love and just do it.
And I think adding on to that, just, it doesn't always have to be you go out for hours and do something. Like, you could literally go out for a 10-minute walk if that's what you wanted to do. Like, it doesn't need to be this big task that feels overwhelming and that you can't do. It can literally just be 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, just whatever works in your schedule as it is.
I mean, even if you want to start reading, even if you set yourself a task just to read like 10 pages a day,
yeah,
and you end up loving it, and then you've gone from 10 pages to an hour a day because you're like, oh, I'm so engrossed in this book. Like, it's just something that's you're doing that you enjoy. Like, just find something you enjoy.
And it doesn't, it could be like you go to from 5 minutes to an hour a day to sometimes it just being 5 minutes again, and like flipping between the two, and that's also okay.
I love that. Thank you both. Well, thank you both ever so much for agreeing to be the first guests on the With All Due Respect podcast. It's been great having you. Thank you so much for giving up your time. And if you are, well, you probably are new here. If you have listened to this podcast before, that's because it's the first one. It's a great start by me. You can tell I've not had enough coffee today. So I hope you liked it. Please let us know any feedback, and hopefully we'll see you in the next one. Bye.